Hey now, 3HL on the air, 104.5 The Zone, 4 o'clock hour on a Friday afternoon. Rhett Bryan gracing us with his presence.
Rhett, good to be.
Working hard on a Friday. Executive producer, Titans Radio.
Working hard. Gotta be.
Don't take
weekend.
No days off, man. What are you talking about?
I always tell people, man, if you hang around the studio long enough, you're going to end up behind a microphone.
Come on, man. It's simple. Make it simple.
Speaking of simple, watching the PGA Championship, Rory and Tiger were both behind trees, shooting in between trees and all these things. And I'm like, Slay Dog, me and you both would have hit one of those trees.
It's a guarantee.
These guys are like, no big deal. Middle of the green. In fact, Tiger's like 7 feet from the pin.
It's crazy. Got that touch.
There was some guy that was underneath a tree and he shot it through the leaves. And like, I would have knocked down like three branches. Some bird would have been screaming.
Who did that?
Why do you have to be so graphic with the animals?
Yor will take them out. That's what he's trying to say.
Man, I was playing.
See?
I was playing with a buddy of mine. You know him, Davenport. Brian DeLauder. And he's such a big character that I feel like a lot of Middle Tennessee knows him or has come around him. He used to be a higher up at Nissan. But anyway, we were playing golf at West Haven one day, and there is a on hole 17. There it's a par five. There's water on the left. There the 12th fairway is on the right. Usually I'm there. I'm usually in the 12th fairway, and there is a birdhouse about 60 yards from the tee on the right in between the two fairways.
Mm-hmm.
So just off your fairway, but really not even up to the 17 fairway, not up that far. My man, DeLauder, steps up and he takes a swing. He's a lefty too. So this had a burn hook on it. It hit that birdhouse so hard. It echoed through the course, and about 3 seconds later, like two birds flew out of that thing. It took them 3 seconds to gather their stuff, kind of like Dawn on her walk yesterday.
Time to roll.
Those birds were concussed, I guarantee it. And then, you know, they told all the other birds around the course what happened. So now, like, these birds are going to be after that guy.
I'll be on the lookout when the dude slide through here, man.
I mean, it. I mean, just he could not have hit that birdhouse harder.
Well,
everything's in play on the golf course when some of us are out there.
Without question. I'm saying four every time I rear back. Knock that thing through.
615.
Everything's in play.
Everything's in play. 615-737-1045. That's what I don't even yell four. I yell eight. It's that
four.
Bad.
Yeah,
it's you got double down. But like when the people also line the bad shot behind the trees?
Yeah.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Today is National Bike to Work Day, so Slay rode his bike today. So if you see Big Zeebo riding home, shout out. Was Jimbo right to go back at Saban? And then should Saban have just left it alone instead of saying more stuff? In his head, he apologized. I know most people that heard it or read it didn't think that was much of an apology.
Wasn't.
He probably should have just kept it in his pocket.
Yeah.
Coach Prime jumps in. Coach Saban wasn't talking to me. Coach Saban wasn't talking to Jimbo Fisher. He was talking to his boosters. He was trying to get money, which is dead on right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you still don't throw a guy under the bus, though.
It's crazy.
He ain't got nothing to do with this. You can talk to your boosters another kind of way.
You don't go at your peers.
Yeah, come on, man.
No matter how competitive you are.
At all.
Yeah. It's not like we're just going to sit in here and throw a haymaker over at Murphy on WTN.
Right. Why would you?
I mean.
Well, maybe that's a bad example.
That's messed up with it.
I totally would.
Slanging haymakers.
Yeah.
From the shoulder. Swing from the shoulder.
Okay. I mean, you can't go after somebody like that and then expect nothing to happen.
Right.
That's my whole thing.
Right.
I just
if you're
going to
say
that.
Something dumb or if you're going to say something controversial, then you better be ready for it to come back.
Listen, this is why people love soap operas. back in the day, right? Like, mm-hmm. do people still love soap operas?
I think so.
They just love the drama at every turn. And this is drama. I love it. I'm here for it. I wish Saban would have fired back at him. What if Saban would have said, you know what? F Jimbo. Y'all coming to my house this year.
Sankey head would have popped off.
You, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Yep. Sankey, by the way. So Lane Kiffin was supposed to be on the Dan Patrick Show today, and Pauly Papps put out that you know, we were supposed to have Lane Kiffin, but Greg Sankey's not allowing SEC coaches to talk with the media right now.
I'm sure Sankey really appreciates Kiffin telling them that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that he really wanted that out there as well.
Maybe Sankey is strategic about this and saying, just hold it for SEC Media Day.
This goes back.
Imagine how many people will be there.
This goes back to what we were saying yesterday. Sankey's like a fourth grade teacher. You've got he's also the principal. He's the fourth grade teacher and the principal. So you've got Jimbo and Nick Saban sitting out in front, outside the principal's office,
mm-hmm.
and then you've got Kiffin just kind of walking the halls, like laughing at him. Like poking him.
Yeah, he's the instigator.
Yeah. What'd y'all say? You gonna say something else?
Yeah. You know Jimbo don't like you, don't you? told me at lunch.
Right?
Told me at lunch.
So Sankey's like a fourth grade teacher who put the coaches in timeout. Yeah. Like, these two over here lose their heads, so I'm gonna punish everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's allowed to say a word.
Nobody's selling their own program for a while.
Nobody talk.
And now they go to SEC Media Days next weekend.
No, SEC spring meeting.
Spring meeting first, yep.
Media days are not till July, which we will be there.
Yeah!
It's in Atlanta this year.
ATL!
Yeah. And then Nashville next year.
Magic City Wings. Oh, never mind.
You think all the coaches are going to be there together?
I know we will. We're sending out an invite.
I don't know if all of us will be there.
Sweet Lou? Lemon pepper wings?
Yeah.
Sweet Lou, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet Lou.
Yeah, come on down. Be a great time.
I mean, yeah, so SEC spring meetings is typically a really laid-back thing. We used to do shows there every year, and then the Preds made a Stanley Cup run, so we couldn't go that year, and then next thing you know, it's not in the budget anymore. but it's a really laid-back event, and, you know, the coaches come, they go in, they go out, their families go in a lot of cases, and, like, they spend family time and stuff, and this year... Somebody asked Jimbo, what's it going to be like, man? When y'all see each other, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I ain't backing down from a confrontation.
I ain't afraid of confrontation.
That's not how I was raised.
What am I supposed to do, walk backwards? Jimbo said he go straight ahead to it. Okay.
615-737-1045. Cousin Andrew next up on 3HL. Andrew, what's up?
What is going on? Look, I was not calling in to get on the air, but Hunkapiller forced it on here. So I originally just called because I had a question for Mr. Hunk, and it was, where are the introductions? Because those introductions that Rhett Gordy B produces have fired me up. I love them.
That's a great question. We haven't done the introductions today, have we?
He gave me this nonsense that the mayor just forgot. I said, you know, I can understand one segment, but
the mayor is coming through
for a full hour. So here's the deal. Since it is Trash Talk Friday and Hunk forced me in, Mayor, I think you're just jealous. I think Gordy B needs to just keep playing them, man. Don't sit there and stew in it. Just play them and let it bump.
I Y'all love it. Yep. I secretly hate both of these people that sit in this room with me. Yeah, we completely forgot.
And he made it sound so bad. Like, I was just like, hey, I'm just letting you know, Brent forgot. And he's like, that he made it sound
why
like
we, so, oh, we jumped straight into National Bike Day. That's
we
what
we literally just jumped straight into stuff.
Biking to Chattanooga. Yeah.
This is far more important. She's darn damn important.
Yeah.
Oh, that's bonk. That's bonk. Twitch, please. Twitch, please. Twitch, please.
Good Friday song.
Double
I feel like we're at the club.
That is a Friday song.
Yeah?
That is.
Double D.
At the club.
And there he is. He's Ron Slay.
Good old
Rocky. Oh.
Woo!
This kind got no
Friday.
Room.
This is new.
This kind got no room. No room.
This is the new one.
No Wait, room, there, no this room. Is new.
No room. Good old
Oh, wait, no. We played this
once, yeah, but this is the new one.
You know what, and Babsy, to your point, These are Friday's intros.
These are Friday intros, yeah.
Because it didn't, I'm going to be honest, it didn't hit me like that. I loved it when Rhett was in here. Was that a Friday?
No.
Babs, you were out. It was Monday.
It was Monday.
Monday's tough.
Yeah. Monday, we need a rally.
Thinking about it, you've had a hell of a week, man.
No kidding, right?
I've had a concussion
and a colonoscopy in 1 week.
Fighting, Babs. Tough.
Knock your head out.
And an endoscopy.
You ain't AJ. You're going to show up.
Oh, my gosh.
I like it, Babs.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. There's no excuse here.
That's right.
AJ.
Don't cry.
All right, when we come back, we're going to learn a little bit about Malik Willis from Sean McAvoy, who is a quarterback's coach. Malik Willis's quarterback's coach lives down in Atlanta, and we'll get with him about what does Malik do well, what does he need to work on, and go from there. That's next, 3HL 104.5 The Zone.
Searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow, nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
3HL 104.5 The Zone. What up, Nashville? Brent Doherty, Don Davenport, Ron Slay. These two find a couple of Reese's Cups in here. It looks like they've been, first they melted, then put in the fridge. They don't know where they came from.
Still tastes pretty damn good. I'm in.
We knocked it down.
Knocked it out.
Dawn literally looked at me before she took a bite. She said, if I die, you'll know what happened. You'll know why.
It's the Reese's.
I'm like, well, you did hit your head on a sign yesterday walking your dog. Very athletic people in this room.
Yes,
the first pitch the other day.
Right. Maybe we could stand to have a coach.
I'm bound to do something this weekend. Yeah, we got a quarterback guru. Sean McAvoy joins us now. Sean, I don't know what kind of room you think you're walking into, but it is, I think it used to be athletic. I got two former scholarship athletes in here.
We just got old.
It happens quickly, doesn't it? It happens quickly.
I know you're like a quarterback guy, quarterback guru, but my man Ron Slay, former SEC Player of the Year in basketball, threw out the first pitch at the Nashville Sounds game the other day, and he might have bounced it a couple of times. Can you help people with first pitches, or are you just football guys?
I think there's enough of the same stuff there mechanically that, hey, Ron, we can do, at least for next year, right?
Before
the next first picks, we'll do what we can, man.
I'm all in on that. Talk to me.
He's got to redeem himself. So you're
going to take any help he can get, right?
Yeah. Y'all got some camps up here in Tennessee, too.
Yeah,
so,
but I think he needs to go down to Double A and throw a first pitch out.
No, I ain't going down. If anything, take me up.
Going to Biloxi.
Let's start here, Sean. And we appreciate you hopping on. For those that don't know, worked with Malik Willis, quarterback coach for Malik Willis. How did you get down that quarterback development path? How did this all start for you?
Yeah, played quarterback in high school. It was limited by, I like to talk about, by the size and ability. So my quarterback journey ended there in high school. But got into coaching. Was a high school football coach up in the Philadelphia area. That's home for me. For about 10 years, and coached quarterbacks, coached defensive backs as well, and you know, just trying to help make my quarterbacks better. So you started to seek out knowledge and people that were smarter than you and try to pick up little pieces and just trying to help the quarterbacks that played at my high school a little bit better in the offseason. You know, I was fortunate to work with some talented guys early on, guys that had opportunities to go play at the FCS and FBS level. You start getting a little reputation, a little word of mouth. Hey, this guy's pretty good. He helped me, and kind of built from there. So that was the first like 6-7 years of the journey, and we moved down to Atlanta about 9 years ago now, and so now I'm dating myself. But that's when it kind of went full time, right? So kind of transitioned, was able to build it up pretty quickly here in this area, meet guys like Malik Willis, you know, early on in his quarterback journey as well. And and now the last 5-6 years, this is what I do exclusively now, and working with Quincy Avery and quarterback takeover, and we've just been fortunate to work with so many great players at that position.
Before we get into Malik, I'm curious foundationally, what are some of the things you try to teach quarterbacks in general? Are there common threads that you try to weave into these guys beyond throwing a football?
Without a doubt. I mean, I think there's two main things we focus on. And the first is just being, like, fast and fluid in everything they're doing. And this is something that equates to really all sports and all positions, just the idea of whatever these athletes are. And if they're playing at the, you know, Division One level, if they're playing, obviously, in the professional level, these are phenomenal athletes. So let's not overcoax that out of them. Let's allow them to be fast and fluid. And then the other piece of that is being stable. You know, now with the quarterback, we're obviously talking about the lower body, talking about being in a good place, consistent at the top of the drop. So whatever their natural athleticism is, let's put them in a position where they can use it efficiently every time.
And you've seen a lot of change in the years, you know, from going to these more mobile quarterbacks like a Malik Willis with the talent that he has compared to these pocket passer quarterbacks. Have you had to adjust your game a little bit as far as teaching goes?
A little bit. You know, the funny thing is kind of what's important to win and be successful at that position hasn't changed.
Okay.
So I think you're seeing that the dual threat quarterback is tougher to defend, and maybe he can attack in a couple different areas than we were used to, say 10 or 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the things he needs to do really well is be consistent as a passer, right? The game will never change to the point where you have to win on 3rd and 8 from the pocket, right? And that'll never change. And so, you know, some guys maybe that were more of an athletic type had to do a little bit more work to be a consistent passer. And that's certainly true with Malik's journey. But the guys that are great passers cannot learn how to just suddenly be, you know, explosive athletically. So it's kind of easier to coax the passing piece than make a guy run a 4.4.
So you said, you know, you met Malik early in his quarterback journey, and we talk about progression and all of that. Take us back to when you first started working with Malik, or when you first saw him play. What stood out to you about Malik and his game, and how long ago was that?
Okay, so we're talking the transition from his junior year of high school to his senior year of high school.
Okay.
So I think that's about 6, maybe 6.5 years ago now. I don't know how familiar we are with his backstory, but in high school early on, he played a little bit of receiver, mm-hmm. played a little bit of quarterback, and was never kind of exclusively a quarterback until that move. So he went from Westlake High School, which a lot of people know, that's where Cam Newton went to high school here in Atlanta, and then transferred to a school called Roswell High School. So when he got to Roswell, that was going to be him as the guy, the full-time QB, only position he's playing. So obviously he wanted to make sure he was ready to kind of take on that challenge. Right out of the gate, you could just see how athletic he was. At this time, he already had, you know, a handful of Division I offers, some Power 5 offers. They weren't sure where they were going to play him yet. They just knew he was an elite athlete. You could see the talent in his arm. You could see the natural athleticism. He just was very inconsistent, right? So I think early on, you'd say maybe if he was in a group of 10 quarterbacks, he'd have the two best throws of the camp. But there weren't many more than those two that you really felt great about, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was really just about dialing him in and getting him to an area where he threw the same way every time, which is really the simplest way to put it. And so you're seeing those great throws more often.
Interesting.
Yeah, very.
Sean McAvoy with us talking about Malik Willis. So how is he in terms of work ethic and wanting to get better and things like that as you continued your process of working with him?
Yeah, it's a good segue from what we were just talking about when I first met him. Obviously, his goal was he wanted to play quarterback. He wanted to play quarterback at the collegiate level. He wanted to be successful at the collegiate level at that position. So he knew he had work to do, and right out of the gate, it was whatever I need to do to get me to where I want to be, I'm all in. And all in means, like, you know, 3 times a week, and he's working on his mechanics. And you know, when you get into a private training session where you're focused on mechanics, those get dense pretty quickly, right? They get very dull. It's a lot of, like, 45 reps of the kind of same thing as you're trying to build some consistency and muscle memory. You know, you can see guys almost get bored. But, you know, he knew what he was trying to work towards. And that mindset of, like, whatever I need to do to be successful, I'm all in, whatever it takes, really hasn't changed from high school to Auburn to Liberty. I mean, you know, he's getting ready for rookie minicamp, and he just wanted to get started. He tried to get there as early as he could, got that rookie draft class together and got a week in before rookie minicamp started because he knew that putting in that extra time was going to make him more prepared for when it got real at rookie minicamp.
How much have you had to slow him down during that process? Like a lot of times you said he didn't get bored with it, but now that he's reached this level, and how much have you had to say, hey, just pay, don't pace yourself, but take your time and soak it all in and don't overdo it in this certain situation?
I think that's a piece of it, you know, and you're trying to have the kid be patient,
right?
And you know, we all do it. We want to be where we want to be right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so understanding that it is a process, and I think that was something he had to learn. You know, I think he was chomping at the bit to get on the field at Auburn his freshman year and, you know, realizing, hey, like there's a path you need to take there. And that's where I think as he's matured and the time from Auburn to Liberty, you've seen him kind of grow up in that avenue. And he's a lot more understanding of kind of what it takes to ultimately get and the patience that exists there. The reality is, we talk about this with development, it's not linear, right? It's not like you just take one step each day and then you get to where you want to be. You'll be up, and then you almost feel like you took a step backwards, and then you take this big leap and bound up, and then you kind of crawl for 6 months. And, you know, and so I think through his journey, he's understood kind of how this works and realizing, like, hey, just trying to be, and it's something that I know Coach Vrabel preaches, like just trying to be 1% better each day, you know. And I know Coach Vrabel's kind of and Coach Downing has like kept repeating this to him, like, hey, from now to 3 months from now, say 100 days, if you're just 1% better each day, you'll be 100% better in 3 months, right? If you look at it like that, it's a lot easier to stay patient through the process.
You talk about process and you know his game so well, and the talk about Malik obviously is that he has some development to do before, you know, I think a lot of scouts and franchises feel that he can step right in at this next level. So where does he need that development in order to be a starting NFL quarterback in your eyes? What do you guys talk about?
Yeah, I mean, first off, it's going to be just understanding how the game's played at the NFL level. You know, what defenses are doing, looks that he didn't see when he was in college, concepts in the passing game that he didn't, you know, wasn't asked to do when he was in college with the scheme that they ran. So a lot of it's just like, you know, kind of forget quarterback, every position, right? Like just learning the new verbiage, learning the new plays, learning what he's supposed to do. That's going to be a big piece of it. Quarterback specifically with Malik, the footwork, right? I mean, he ran mostly shotgun for his entire career. Now, luckily, we were able to get a head start on some of the under center stuff, you know, into his draft prep process. And so we kind of were able to hit the ground running a little bit with what Tennessee's going to be asking him to do. But it's seeing the field and getting used to how quickly defenses can take things away, can disguise what they're doing. That's going to be a piece that you really can't prepare for until you get out there on the field and get the reps and then take all the coaching you get on the field, bury your head in the playbook and the film, and continue to work on your own to support what you're getting on the field. So, I mean, listen, I've been doing this a lot of years now. We've never had a quarterback that left college that I thought was ready to go. Right, I think that's a myth, the NFL ready. I mean,
yeah, and that's not just you. That's any of them.
I mean, it's all of them. It's Deshaun Watson when we trained him. It's, you know, we still do. It's Trey Lance. It's Justin Fields. You know, the guys we had in the last 3-4 years. Jalen Hurts. Like all those guys. If best case scenarios, they don't have to play right away. And it's not that any of them can't play right away, Malik included.
Yeah,
but the best thing is to get to have the time to prepare yourself. You're always going to be better with more time to prepare.
You kind of mentioned some of those names, and Deshaun Watson and Jalen Hurts and now Malik Willis. What's a common thread you see with these guys that step into that role and have success at that position?
Yeah, I mean, I think without a doubt, and I think, you know, I think Ron kind of touched on it earlier when he said the game's played differently at that position, and those are four guys that certainly are on that new wave of kind of the special player that it takes to be really successful at that position. You know, I think Deshaun's at this point, I was going to say arguably. I'm not even sure it's arguable anymore. A top five quarterback in the league, you know, and you're, I think Trey and Justin and Malik certainly have that same blend of skill set. Now they have to develop the way Deshaun developed. But, and the same thing with Jalen. Right? You're seeing like, okay, Jalen maybe has some improvement too as a passer for sure. But he's found ways to beat you in different ways. And that's a component that all four of those guys have to their games. And quite honestly, I mean, it starts at the college level. You see who's winning national championships and what kind of style of play they're doing at the quarterback position. And you're seeing it trickle to the NFL. And, you know, I keep looking back the last 3-4 years of draft class, right? Who are the guys that we would call quote unquote special? You know, it's not the pocket passer. You know, Tom Brady's still going and he might be the best of it. I don't know how many more of those are coming. But you look at Mahomes and Deshaun and you look at, you know, Josh Allen with his blend of, you know, arm talent and mobility, and you look at, you know, Lamar, and that's the, those are the guys who are really getting it done and having success early on. So I think that's why there's such a need or a love for that type of quarterback now.
Longtime quarterback coach for Malik Willis, Sean McAvoy with us at QB Coach McAvoy.
You talk about that mobility, though. Yeah, you talk about the mobility, though, and the arm talent. Like, I feel like some people look at Malik Willis and, you know, they see that athleticism and they say, oh, that's a run first quarterback. But that that is, that couldn't be further from the truth. Right?
That's, that's my favorite old school mentality.
Yes.
It's like dual threat used to mean what he just runs. Right, that's what we think of dual threat.
Right,
because there was
different.
A lot of there was a lot of evidence that maybe that's what it was. Right, like okay, dual threat man, he can run really well. He can't really throw, and I think it's hard for sometimes all of us to wrap our head around a guy who is an elite runner and can throw just as good or better than almost everybody else. Like that almost doesn't seem fair, right? You can't put that together, which is cool for Malik that he had the opportunity at like the Senior Bowl where they're only throwing, right? They're not running. They're, the whole week of practice is all drops, wraps on air, throwing one-on-ones. And everybody says, wow, he's throwing the best of everybody out here. Then you go to the combine, and he's the talk of the combine because of his combination of arm strength and accuracy. You know, and so all these little moments where, okay, you think he's just a runner. Well, you know, he couldn't wait. And, you know, a guy like me can't wait till he gets side-by-side with everybody else to kind of show, no, he's going to out-throw everybody as well. So, and listen, he has a skill set that's very, very unique. And until you've seen it and kind of been next to him and watched it happen on the field, it's hard to believe till you see it.
You got guys that you said, like Malik Willis, he knew he was going in when he went to Rossview and he was going to be the quarterback, so he wanted to get some work in. Have you been able to lay your eyes on guys nowadays where you see them playing a wide receiver or a skill position and been like, hey, man, you may want to try this quarterback thing out now.
You know, it's funny. It's like I don't have to be that guy who does it anymore.
Okay.
In the coolest way, like they're finding those guys in youth football now, right? Like, because if you're a youth football coach, you're usually putting your best player at quarterback, right?
Yeah.
You want him to touch the ball on every play, and a lot of times that's your most athletic, you know, dynamic. You might run the ball with the QB half the plays anyway, so let's put him there. And so as we kind of see coming through the pipeline, you know, with the guys that Quincy and I train at Quarterback Takeover, we have a big youth, you know, group that comes through. And these are all our 24, 25, 26 gigs, all with multiple Division I offers, and they're cut from that cloth. Yeah. And it was because they were put at quarterback in fourth grade just because they were the best player on the team. So now these guys are getting developed even earlier. So instead of Malik going into his senior year of high school, starting to learn how to throw better, these guys are developing that foundation in the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade.
Sean McAvoy with us, longtime quarterback coach for Malik Willis. Is there a guy out there that you would compare his skill set to, maybe more than anybody else?
When I do the comparison thing, I always love to like stick within the guys I know really well because of the guys we train. Justin Fields pops in my head immediately. Because it's that same blend of like really athletic bodies, the way they can throw the ball, strong arm with like 4.4 speed, like legitimate 4.4 type speed. That's a blend. You know, Trey's obviously a different type of runner than those guys are. You know, Justin doesn't utilize that as much as you see a guy like Malik does. He certainly didn't at Ohio State. But that's the guy who pops up right away. But to be honest with you, I think Malik has, I'll say as good, but what I really mean is better than arm of anyone I've seen. So of any of the guys we've been around, anybody we've trained, he is, from an arm strength standpoint, is on a different level there.
Sean, I get to be around a couple of guys when it comes to training basketball, and I know what you and Quincy are doing a great job. Let me ask a personal question right here. You all ever have to come down and be like, hey, Quincy, this is my guy. Hold on, man. I see something in him. I can't let you get him, Quincy. This is mine, brother.
You know what's the coolest part? Quincy's probably my best friend. We play golf 3 times a week. Like, we spend literally more time together than I spend with my wife, right? So, you know, the reality is that could have happened for sure. Mm. You know, I always laugh, like, every time, you know, someone says, oh, Malik Willis, he's trained by Quincy Avery. I'm like, okay, you got him, but then I get to Sean. To be fair, right? Sean is Quincy's guy, right? So, you know, it works. It's like guys come in different avenues, and at this point, they're just all of our guys together. And it's worked really well, and you know, I'd be remiss to not point out how big of a hand Malik Willis. He wouldn't be the quarterback he is now without Quincy's influence as well. I certainly wouldn't have been able to do it and get him to this point by myself. So it's worked really well.
No doubt.
Would you be surprised if they didn't have, like, a package for him this year? Even if he, you know, I mean, Ryan Tannehill is going to be QB1. We know that. But
sure.
But you wouldn't be surprised if they had a package for him, would you?
No, I mean, listen, I think at the end of the day, you're just trying to win games every Sunday.
Yeah.
And you'd be foolish to not use every single avenue, every single option you have to help you score points and win games. So if they get to the point where they feel like Malik adds 1% to what they could do offensively, then I think it has to be in the playbook.
Sean, man, enjoyed the conversation, man. Thank you for the backstory there, and we really appreciate you, bro.
No, nice meeting you guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm a new Titans fan, so
you
guys and listening along as we move forward here.
Awesome, brother. Appreciate you, Sean.
You
McAvoy.
Have a media voice, by the way. Yeah. Like, you could take all of our jobs in radio easily.
I don't want it. I mean, I'm doing for the, was it Reese's Peanut Butter Cups you guys had? That might entice me into it.
we did have that conversation.
I think otherwise I'll stick to what I'm doing. So, but I appreciate it.
There he is. Sean McAvoy, Malik Willis' quarterback coach, at QB Coach McAvoy. When we come back, more of your phone calls, 615-737-1045 on a Trash Talk Friday, and Tennessee baseball with a historic performance yesterday. We'll get into that a little bit next. 3HL 1045 The Zone. 3HL 1045 The Zone. Speaking of John Daly, he led this golf tournament for like 2 holes. Brent Doherty, Don Davenport, Ron Slay with you.
Then where'd he go?
Not bad. +2 yesterday, 72. And then there's pictures all over the internet where he's sitting in a casino at the slot machine.
I'm just relaxing.
I don't have a problem with it.
No, take your mind away from things.
That's right.
Go win some money.
There was
somewhere.
An ashtray with like 37 heaters next to him.
Didn't somebody do like a log of everything that went into John Daly's body during his round?
Yeah, but I don't know how real that was. I mean, it's pretty outrageous. Which means it's probably true.
It's probably true.
It was 21 cigarettes, 6 Diet Cokes, no ounces of water, something like that. My man's hydrated. Didn't he used to drink beer during rounds, like keep it in his bag?
I so wish
I knew. You're allowed to, right?
Why not, man? I mean, you're in business for yourself.
I do it sometime on my rounds.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes.
Like, you don't do a round without it.
Right. Yeah, you do a round with a round.
That's right.
That's right.
Have you ever played golf without having a drink?
Well, I've only played like 4 times, so no.
Really? You've only played like 4 times?
Yeah.
And I've been there 3
you're
of them.
You're really not that bad for only playing 4 times, yeah, right?
No, I'm not horrible. Like,
remember what Coach Mack said, athlete.
With Elf.
Well, yeah, but that didn't show Wednesday night.
Well, you know, sometimes you win some, you lose some. You just go on to the next one. Like bowling. I get a strike in bowling.
Is that our next one?
Hey. We need an event.
We need a bowling event.
Steer Ike out.
We're still trying to set up the Don versus Buck. That should be coming soon.
A lot of events should be coming
soon. By the way, we need to ask our program director about that, Paul.
I know. Mm-hmm. He keeps popping his head in here.
Yeah, like, pop in again.
Come on, pop in. When is Don versus Buck?
He's like the groundhog. Like, you come in here and he's all smiles, and then Don will say something that makes him nervous and he leaves. Like, real fast. Like, you don't even know he's gone. It's like a puff of smoke. Poof. And he's gone.
Are you saying I'm an HR nightmare? No.
Not bad.
This is not true, John, by the way.
John FYI. Daly, plus 272 yesterday. He's plus 4 today. So plus 6 for the golf tournament. The cut line is 4.
Yeah. Well, John,
I was hoping John Daly would make the cut.
What's the beard?
His son signed with Hooters, right? NIL deal with Hooters?
That's pretty dope.
They both did.
Oh, they both did?
It's a team deal.
What do you mean? He can't sign an NIL deal. Here?
What are he doing in the NIL?
He's doing commercials. They're doing them together.
Well, okay.
Hey, that's all right, man.
God, y'all just jumped on that.
I mean, Lil Ron and Slay going to be doing strikeout wing spots.
We right there with it, baby.
Got some NIL money.
Lil Ron won't even eat a wing.
We need to. We need a strikeout day next week.
We do, huh?
I'm craving those wings.
Summertime strikeout. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Got it. Tiger Woods, double bogey
on the way in
at 11. Takes him to plus 5, which is above the cut line. He just made a pretty long putt for par. So we'll keep you updated there. Hoosier Matt in Antioch wants to talk some trash. Hoosier Matt, what's up?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I'm a recent transplant from, obviously, the Hoosier State.
Yes, sir.
Specifically Indianapolis.
Okay.
And, it's good to hear some sports talk that doesn't want to make me bang my head off of the steering wheel. You guys
that's our next marketing campaign. You just
that's our next t-shirt.
Yeah, that's the billboard that's going
up.
We
like it, Matt.
Sports talk that doesn't make you bang your head to your steering wheel.
There you go. I'll take royalties. So I just happened to pick you guys up by accident one day. I'm a local truck driver.
Yeah.
And I picked you guys up when you guys were out at the golf tournament and had Jeff Jarrett on. That was a hell of a good interview. I'm not usually a sports talk call-in show guy because I always feel like that guy's a little weird. But that interview with Jeff Jarrett was phenomenal. Ron Slay.
Yes, sir.
I must say, you bark loud and then you take the barks back. That was, you're a stand-up dude. I really like your character.
I appreciate that.
Way to stand up there.
Thank you, my brother.
And Dawn and Brett, you guys are awesome. Joe Hunk, is that your real voice?
Yeah. Yeah, that's my real voice.
Man, I tell you what, man, every time I hear that SummerSlam commercial on the radio, man, I crack up. Dude, you definitely have a face for radio.
Thank you. Thank you. And honestly, while we're talking, I'm just glad to have a commercial that stayed on the air for more than a day. I just really am.
Yeah. A lot of times, see, he'll cut a commercial and it won't last more than a couple of days because his voice infuriates people sometimes.
No, it's real good. But back to Ron. Ron, you really got me craving them strikeout wings. I'm a wing guy. I may not sound like it, but I am a wing guy, and I'm gonna have to check that out very soon.
I'll make sure I do.
Yeah, but just real quick before I go, I just want you all to know that I'm counting on 2 losses for the Titans in October, and like Mr. Ron Slay, I got a bounce.
I respect that trash talk Friday. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of slick worked in a Colts thing.
That was cool.
That was drive right out there, man. Get in before dark. 14 hours, remember.
Colts,
I think it's 14
drive.
Hours.
Watch the show live on Zone TV, Twitter, Facebook Live, YouTube, and Twitch.
Twitch, please.
Ramon Foster on YouTube. My guy got all the shout outs.
He gave the whole crew. Yeah.
He did. 5 o'clock
hour. That's your real voice.
5 o'clock hour coming up. He does talk like that all the time. Maybe when he's at home, he changes it up. I don't know. But it makes my voice hurt just thinking about it. 5 o'clock hour coming up. Trash Talk Friday. You want it? 615-737-1045.